Amen. Jesus, we come to you this morning and we ask that you would do something that only you can do. We understand the power that is wrapped within your name. So in this moment, this is not just a song that we sing, but this is a declaration where we're asking you, Jesus, to come into our lives, to change us, to make us whole again. We speak Jesus over every student, over every family, over every present circumstance. God, there are some circumstances in this room that are less than ideal. And we ask that you would do something that only you can do. We speak Jesus over every fear, over every worry, over anxiety, over depression, over whatever it is. God, we know that your name has power. There is peace within your presence. And so as we come into your presence today, we seek you, we love you, and we expect you to do something amazing. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, thank you guys for being here. You guys can have a seat. My name is Jacob. I get to be the student pastor here at Grace River. I get to pastor our middle school and our high school students. And for those of you that are joining us for the very first time, you've picked an amazing Sunday to be here with us. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you and your family. Let's give it up for all the dads. Way to go. Yeah. Absolutely. We understand that today can come with a mix of emotions. Wherever you find yourself today, this Father's Day, we want you to know that we see you, that we love you, that God sees you, that he loves you. And again, as we come into his presence today, would you just expect him to do something that only he can do? Let's come with a believing heart that even though our circumstances might be less than ideal, that God will see us through, that he's never left us, that he's never abandoned us. And as we reflect on today, I believe that it can actually be a turning point in some of your lives. And that's what we have been praying for. But if you're new here and you're joining us for the very first time, I just want to say thank you. You couldn't have picked a better Sunday. If you would, scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you. The first link on our link tree will lead you to an online digital connection card. If you will, fill that out for us after service. I want to encourage you to go on a little journey with us, all right? Three things. If you're new or not, right outside of these doors on this back wall, there's a QR code for all the men in the room. You can scan to enter our giveaway. That giveaway is for Father's Day, and it's a $500 bundle of gift cards and a Stanley Cup. There's things all the way from Lowe's to Topgolf to Dick's Sporting Goods, and then we also have my favorite one, $150 Menino's gift card. If you're weird and you don't like Menino's, I'll take it off your hands. That's okay with me, but it would be a little weird if I entered and I won. I'm just saying. So I'm not going to enter. Don't worry, I'm not going to win. But after that, you can go to our merch table right outside to the right. We have brand new merch available today. And then, again, if you're a first-time guest, make sure that you find your way to the orange tent located outside. We have a volunteer there that is ready to greet you, to welcome you. And we just have a gift as our way of saying thank you for joining us. We want you to know that you don't have to be perfect to fit in here at Grace River. Actually, imperfection is required. None of us here in this room, none of us on staff are perfect. Imperfection is the very thing that qualifies us for God's love. I pray that today you experience God's love in your life. We have a really special service lined up. And I believe, again, that God is going to speak directly to you today. But as I said before, I get to lead our middle school and our high school students. And in 12 days, our middle school and high school students are going to camp. We are really excited about that. And in January, the camp reached out to me and they asked, what are you praying for? What are you believing God to do? And there was a few things that I gave them. And then they asked for a number. How many students and leaders are you hoping to bring? And I said a number that was a little bit of a faith step. It was actually a mega faith step because it's more than we had ever taken before. And I said 125. I had no idea how we were gonna get 125 people to camp. I was looking at the big dollar bill that was gonna come with that, and I was looking at all the transportation that had to happen, and I was looking at, well, I don't even know if we have 125 students in this church. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but I believe that God can make it happen, and I'm here to tell you that we have reached 125 signups for camp. Amen. And it's only because of Jesus. But listen to me, though. Camp is so much more than just a trip. Camp is actually a turning point. I look at my life, and camp was a turning point that I will always, always refer back to. It was in the context of church camp that I gave my life to Jesus in fifth grade. I was just a little boy. I gave my life to Jesus there at my bunk bed. And then as a sophomore, going into my junior year, I surrendered my life to full-time ministry. I would not be on this stage today. I would not be a pastor if it was not for the leaders and the people that were able to send me to camp. Camp was a turning point in my life. And camp has been a turning point in your life, potentially. Camp was a turning point in so many students' lives over these last 4 years. It was last week that we showed a story of Bree. And Bree gave her life to Jesus. And the amazing thing about Bree that she did not mention in her story was that she did not know Jesus a year ago. I didn't know Bree a year ago. She was one of the people that signed up to go to camp with us. And I said, I don't know who that person is. Hopefully they're not a troublemaker, right? And she ended up being amazing. She gives her life to Jesus. And a few months ago, our student leadership team, we were talking about sharing your faith. And she shared her story on TikTok, and it went incredibly viral. But it was a turning point that she can always go back to camp with. It was because of what Jesus did in the context of camp. And this last year, there was a kid named Nolan who did not give his life to Jesus because he had already done that, but he had surrendered his life to full-time ministry, to do this vocationally. And we're gonna share his story here in just a moment. But it's safe to say, I've talked to him and I've talked to his parents before, he's had an incredibly rough deal of cards in his life. He's had a lot of loss from really close family members in his life, and he kept his faith, and he goes to camp and he surrenders to full-time ministry. And I say all that to say, I just wonder who's next. There's 125 lives that are gonna get away from the chaoticness of this life, and we're gonna focus on Jesus. We're gonna make room for him because we know that Jesus has the ability to change people's lives. That it's in Jesus's name that strongholds are broken, that hope is restored, and that, my friends, is exactly what I'm praying for in these students' lives. I wanna invite you to be a part of this. This is a move of God of what is happening in our student ministry, and I want you to be involved in this. Two ways that you can do that. First, you can pray for these students. Pray. Do you believe that God has the ability to change people's lives? If you do, would you pray for these students? Because I'm telling you right now, these students are up against more heartache than you would ever imagine. They're going through things that are unimaginable for middle school and high school kids. And they need people in their life that are praying for them. Not just over this next week, but throughout their entirety of you knowing them. But I also believe that God has really placed it in some of our hearts to give financially to send students to camp. It costs a lot of money. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It'll cost us around $17,000 to just get to and from camp in transportation. And then it'll be another $10,000 in scholarships. So we have this goal of $25,000 to send 125 students to camp. And that's so much more than just a number, right? Whenever you give to that, you are giving to a move of God. You are giving so that students aren't denied access to go to camp. So many families can't afford $345 to send their student to camp, but we know that if we can remove that barrier, God could do he could do anything and everything in their life, and he could do abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And so if God has really placed this burden in your heart to give, I'm gonna ask you to do the bold thing, and I'm gonna ask you to scan that QR code and give to the Student Camp Initiative. And I want 100% of the room to do this. I don't want you to miss out on what God is doing. Even if you can give $10, $20, some of you, you have the ability to give $345 and sponsor an entire child to go to camp. I don't know what it is that God is placing in your heart, but I want to ask that everybody be a part of what God is doing in our student ministry. Why? Because we know that God can do the life change that we're praying for. He's changed my life. He's potentially changed your life, and he's going to change these middle school and high school students' lives. And so if you feel led to give, you can scan that QR code. But I want you to check out Nolan's video. Nolan is the kid that surrendered to full-time ministry that I was just talking about.
Hi, my name is Nolan, and this is how Jesus changed my life. There was definitely a point where God wasn't a priority in my life, and I felt like I believed in Jesus and God, but I didn't live a Christian life. When I looked at my life, it wasn't the life I wanted to live. Before camp, I was doing a lot of things I really shouldn't have been, and I didn't know what I was gonna do with my life. And then camp came along, and I was like, man, that could be fun. And my buddy Chase said, yeah, like, you should go. And something about camp was just so, like, awesome. Like, there not being any phones and being able to just talk to people and relate and connect and have great talks about God and Jesus. It really, like, made me really think about what I wanted my life to be and whether I wanted God or Jesus in it or not. Then there was worship, and worship just spoke to me, and just the connection with everybody around you, too. Like, when they started singing, it was like everybody just forgot about everything in their life and just focused on God and focused on Jesus, and it was amazing. And I remember sitting there, they played a song called You've Already Won, and I remember sitting there with my buddy Chase, just, we were all, like everybody around us, we were all just sobbing our eyes out, because we knew we've all been through tough stuff, and God's the way, and God can bring you through it, and camp really helped me with that. And then after worship, we went to small groups, and Justin was talking and praying for us. Something just like clicked in my mind, and I was like, yeah, this is what I want, and I want God, and like, God is where I want my heart to be, and I want to serve him. And then he brought up full-time ministry, and full-time ministry just seems so awesome to me. Like, being able to be a light to other people and plant a seed and being able to change other people's life the way God changed mine. And if it wouldn't have been for my friends and Jacob before camp, like, I definitely probably wouldn't have gone to camp. And I don't know where I'd be today. And if it weren't for Jacob and this amazing church, I seriously don't know where I'd be. I would say camp changed my life in a way that, like, I feel so much more confident in myself and being able to, like, talk to people and more relatable, and just knowing that God always got my back, and I'm able to plant the seed, and God could help somebody else's life out, and that they would come to God and have a relationship with him is just so amazing to me. Like, I don't know where I'd be without camp and God, and I can't imagine my life without it.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear Nolan's story and what camp did, but what God did in his life. And we're in and super excited about camp and what's coming up. And I know Jennifer and I are in on this, praying that you be in on this as well. Let's send these kids off. Let's give them that experience and for them to encounter God. And, man, they're making a difference in their schools. And here's another one that is. Isaiah Lusa is here. And throughout this series, Summer in the Psalms, we're having some of our students read the passage that we're going to be going through for the morning. Isaiah is one of those. He's a now a senior at Fort Zumwalt North. And Isaiah is one as well that is looking to go into full-time ministry. And he's making a difference on his campus. He's making a difference on his football team. God's going to continue to use you in amazing ways as you follow him and you surrender to him. And can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life. We're going to read together from the book of Psalms.
The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at the end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the Lord. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for the living.
Let's give it up for Isaiah. Thank you so much, Isaiah. Awesome. Well, we're in, again, this series, Summer in the Psalms, looking at Psalm 19, and, it is Father's Day. Again, as we've talked about, that can bring a whole mix of emotions. It's been a week, too. I mean, if we're honest, it's been a week. I was away last weekend, and we were at a place where we didn't have any cell service, any internet. I came back Monday. It's LA's burnt. What's going on? And then there's Israel and Iran and all the different stuff. And it can honestly feel a little overwhelming, I think. It can feel weighty and heavy. So maybe you're dealing with that. Maybe you're dealing with other stuff. I just want to remind us that one day all of these things are going to fade away, but there is one kingdom that won't. That's who we're celebrating today. That's who we're worshiping today, the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to talk about in these moments. I am a dad to three grown boys now. And, I don't know if you know, for us at least, when we felt like we were the best parents, it was before we had kids. Before we had kids, we were awesome parents. We were like, man, I would never do that. And I don't know why they're doing that. And you know what their issue is? Their issue is consistency. And all these different things. We just thought, we know how to be good parents. And then we had children, and that all went out the window. We had children, we were like, oh man, now we're, Jennifer would say, when we had children, we were terrible parents. We couldn't figure anything out, it felt like. And there's times when we were kind of butting heads with one another. There's, things where we were like, is this too much freedom? Is this not enough freedom? And can we ground them for that? Can we ground them for everything? And then you realize, grounding them actually is punishment to you. Because now they're just there all the time, right? And it's just hard. Parenting is difficult, hard work. You're constantly second-guessing, you're comparing, you're concerned that every little thing is either that you do or that they do is leading them to either be the next serial killer or president, and there's nothing in between, right? It is just difficult, hard work, and it never seems to get better. Happy Father's Day, everybody. but now our kids are out of the house, and right now, in this moment, they're all three of them are doing okay. And Jennifer are like, hey, we weren't so bad. So we go from being amazing parents before we have kids, terrible parents all throughout. Now they're out of the house. We're like, hey, maybe it's all right. Maybe we did okay. And I don't know necessarily why I'm telling you all of this, except for it's free therapy for me. And and if you're in the stage of being a terrible parent, what I'm saying is there's hope that one day, many, many years from now, you might be like, hey, we weren't terrible. So, I've learned that as a parent through the years, that there's a lot of stuff, especially when we are first-time parents, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really matter near as much as we thought it did. But there are some things that do. And those things, and focusing on those most important things, bring the greatest reward as a parent and the biggest blessing to our children. Today I want to look in Psalm chapter 19, and it's a psalm that David wrote. It's in the middle of the Bible, and he talks about three important things that when we kind of get our gaze right, get our focus right, we can experience the life that God has for us, and that if you're a, especially if you're a dad today, that your kids can experience that as well. And so this is a message for everybody, whether you're 19 or 90 and single or married or have kids or don't have kids. But especially if you're a dad today, I want to encourage you not only look at this through the lens of your life, which I want you to, but then also through the lens of your children's lives as well, and helping them lean into the most important things. So I'm going to read again Psalm chapter 19, the first couple of verses. Verse 1 through 4, it says this. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. Jen and I just went away for our anniversary, just for a couple of day quick getaway. And we went down and rented an Airbnb in the Mark Twain National Forest. And there was no cell service. There was no internet. And we're out there. The Current River was kind of behind us. And we were doing some hiking and different things. But I can't remember if it's the first or second night. One of those nights, we were out on the back deck of this place. And there's no houses anywhere near. None that we could see. And the hills were kind of out in front of us on the view. And it was a cloudless night. And we were just looking up at the stars and the moon and all of it. And I thought of this verse, this idea that the glory of God is speaking night after night, displaying his glory night after night. And that night, as we looked at the stars and the moon, the glory of God was speaking of his grandeur, of his immensity, of his beauty and creative genius. Those verses go on. They say, they speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. What David is talking about in these first four verses is what theologically they talk about as general revelation. The revelation of God to everyone, everywhere. Whether you've been in church, whether you've never been in church, whether you live here, you live on the other side of the world, that God is speaking through his creation, that we can see God. And so what David says in these first few verses is that we need to, as people, to see God. To see him as we look at his creation. And as David writes this and he looks up at the stars and he looks at the sun, he sees God and it speaks to his heart. It overwhelms him at the bigness and the might and the grandeur of God. And yet he's this one person in this one place. And yet God has extended his love and his grace to him just as he does to each one of us. I don't know if you've ever seen those videos that they picture like a person, and then they zoom out from them out over the city and then out over the state and then out over the country and then out over the earth, and they zoom out into the heavens. And just this idea of like this one person in this one place and then how big and expansive our universe is. We live in the Milky Way galaxy, right? We're one of a number of planets and suns that are and moons that are a part of this Milky Way galaxy that scientists believe is 100,000 light years in diameter. One light year equals 5.88 trillion miles. And it says that we're 100,000 light years in diameter for our Milky Way galaxy. Now, do you know what 100,000 light years times 5.88 trillion miles is? Yeah, it's a lot. When I put it on the calculator, like it was beyond me because the number was like this long and in the middle was an E. Like when there's a letter in it, like I'm like, I don't, it's beyond me, but it's really, really big, right? Like, so this is the Milky Way galaxy that we live in, but now we've got the Hubble telescope, which has gone and takes pictures of kind of the outer areas of our universe, and scientists now believe that the Milky Way galaxy, this galaxy that's 100,000 light years in diameter, 100,000 times 5.88 trillion miles, is one of 100 billion to 2 trillion galaxies. Like, I mean, it's amazing, the immensity, the enormity of our universe. I want to show you just a couple pictures from the Hubble telescope. One is of a nebula, which is a kind of a giant cloud of gas and dust. They're called star nurseries because where stars are born. The Cone Nebula here, this part that you see, is they suspect 2.5 light years in length, which is roughly 23 million trips to the moon and back. The next picture is the Sombrero Galaxy. The Sombrero Galaxy, again, they think the Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years in diameter. They believe the Sombrero Galaxy is 28 million light years from Earth. And they believe it has 800 billion suns. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. And then you zoom back in from the great expanses of the universe. Our family in April went to Ecuador. My son, my oldest son, fell in love with a girl that was from Ecuador. He went on a mission trip there. She was the translator, and 7 years later, they decided they want to get married. And so we flew down to Ecuador to meet her family, and they live near the Amazon jungle. And we went to this town called Banos. This is the town down there in these mountains. It's a town of 50,000 people at 6,500 feet elevation, and then the mountains just skyrocket from there. It reminded me of Jurassic Park when we were there. I took this picture from up above when we were at a park up above on this one mountain, and it was so expansive and so huge. And I was thinking about Psalm 19. I was thinking about that is like one town in one area of this one little country in South America, which is part of the Western Hemisphere, which is a part of this Earth, which is a part of the Milky Way galaxy, which is one of 100 billion or more galaxies, and yet God knows your name, knows your story, loves you. That should cause us to fall down and bow down and worship to this God who is mighty and holy and powerful and yet cares about me. And David, as he looked at the world and the stars, it was like taking binoculars and kind of getting them into focus to see something that felt so distant, but then all of a sudden is so close and personal. He could see God. And no matter who you are on this planet, whether, again, you've been in church your whole life or this is your first Sunday, God has been displaying his presence in his creation. The whole of creation crying out to the glory of God. And because of that, no one has an excuse for not turning to him. The display of God through creation is constant and worldwide. From the mountains of Ecuador to the mighty Mississippi and everything in between, we should be reminded every day of God's glory and his power. And then David shifts in this psalm to not talk about just the general revelation of God everywhere, everyone, through the creation of this world, but then to what's called in theological terms special revelation. God revealing himself in a special, in a unique way through his words in the Bible. We not only see God in creation, but then we seek God through his words. Seeing God is like holding up binoculars. Seeking God is like having a compass or a GPS system to guide us into right living. Jennifer and I, we went to Cincinnati, Ohio, the day of the tornado that went into North St. Louis and into the city. We had a wedding shower to go to, and Jennifer got off of work at like 5 o'clock, and we started to drive to Indianapolis and then over to Cincinnati. And we were following the storm. We were probably about 3 hours behind it. And up in front of us for just hours was these big clouds and lightning and all these things. And I'm following my maps. You know, I'm just listening to the maps and going along. And we get to Indianapolis, and now it's dark. And we get to Indianapolis, and the English lady on my maps takes us off on a different road. And I guess there was construction or something happening on 70. But for the next 45 minutes, we're just driving down country roads, left and right and turning this way and that way. And I have no clue where I'm going. I've never been on these roads before. It's dark. I'm pretty sure the English lady has never been on these roads before either. But I'm all in. Like, I'm just trusting her. Like, okay, we're going there. That's what we're doing. It reminded me of The Office with Michael Scott and Dwight Schrute, and they follow the GPS system like right into a lake, right? Because they're just like, out of this is where we're going, right? And that's what it felt like. But in many respects, God's word is like this GPS system that's guiding us and leading us to right living. A lot of times we don't know where we're going. We're just kind of following as he leads us. So David discusses how God is revealing himself through his word, how it's like this compass for us. It's pointing us to this true north. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. David says of the words of the Bible, they are instructions, decrees, commandments, commands, laws. And then he gives these adjectives to describe these words of God. He says they're perfect, they're trustworthy, they're right, they're clear, they're pure, they're true. Like you can count on God's words. We can have confidence in them. And the truth is, we follow all sorts of things. We count on all sorts of things that at best is like maybe 50-50, right? We count on all sorts of things. We count on people that we probably shouldn't at times. We count on our own heart, like I'll just follow my heart, which has done me wrong many times. We're like, okay, I'll just follow my heart. And like my heart has duped me over and over again. We follow my gut. Like sometimes you're right, like I have a feeling. And sometimes you're right. And sometimes it was just a burrito. Like, it, you know, like you don't know. And so often we are counting on things that are not near as trustworthy and right and pure and clear and true as God's word. And then David, and each one of those, he says, these are their instructions of the Lord, this is what they are, and then he explains what they do. David says that these words that are clear and pure and trustworthy and right and good and true, that they revive or they refresh the soul. Maybe this week you feel like you've been kind of kicked around. You've been beaten down a little bit and you need to be refreshed. His words can refresh your soul. Maybe this week you're facing some big decisions, you're facing some challenges, and you need some wisdom. You need some clarity in a season where it's felt very unclear and you're not sure what to do and you've been kind of following your heart and now you're like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't follow my heart. Maybe I should follow something else. You need some wisdom. And the Bible says that we can seek his wisdom and he'll give to all without finding fault. His words give us wisdom for this life. They bring, it says in verse 8, joy to the heart. Not just happiness in the middle of circumstances, because those just go up and down, right? But an actual joy that we can live with that can resonate in our lives whether we go through difficult times or not. It really goes back to what we talked about in the first week of this series in Psalm 23. That in the middle of hardship that we can have peace. That's what that joy is. It's a deeply centered peace. That even in the middle of the difficulties of life, like we have a sure foundation in God. That he can bring joy and he can bring peace in our life even in the hardships. And isn't that what you want in your life? A groundedness even when it goes through difficult times. And isn't that what you want for your children? That they would be grounded even when they go through difficult times. His ways are right. And when we live by them, we can have a deeply centered joy. His commands are clear. In a world of distractions and deception and deep fakes and AI and hazy morality, God's words are clear. And they give, it says, insight for living. And don't you want your kids to have more than just follow your heart? And as long as you're happy and live your truth. Like God's words are clear, giving insight for living. And what kind of insight is that? It teaches us to be grace givers. It teaches us to extend forgiveness. It teaches us to seek the counsel of others and order our life and save our resources and live generously and be honest and value others and serve one another. And on and on and on it goes. He gives us insight for living so that we might live, as Jesus said, that we might have life and have it to the full. He's for our good. David said his word is true and fair. It's a reliable foundation. God's word stands the test of time. It doesn't need updating. It needs obeying. It will stand the test of time because it's grounded in the unchanging character of an eternal God. You can stake your life on the word of God. And then David wraps up this section as he explained the general revelation of God throughout all of creation, the special revelation through his word that gives insight for living and wisdom and joy. And he shares of the worth of his word. He says this, Psalm chapter 19, verse 10. These words are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They're a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. He says, these words are more desirable than, they're valuable, even the best gold you can find. These words, they're sweet like honey, even the sweetest honey that you can possibly find, dripping off the honeycomb. Do you need wisdom? Do you need some joy this week? Do you need some insight for your life? Do you need to be refreshed? It's found in his word as we seek him. Creation cries out for us to see God. His word cries out for us to seek God. He's revealing himself in all of these ways, and then we're called to respond to him. We seek God in his word, and then we see God through his creation, and then we need to surrender to God as he reveals our own hearts. And God's word in that way is like a mirror. You hold up a mirror to your life and you see yourself. We read God's word, but then God's word reads us. God speaks in his word not just to inform but to transform. He's revealing our hearts and we need to respond. And that's what David does in the next verses. I don't need this mirror because I don't have to check my hair ever, but I don't even know what it's called, really, but I've seen it in hotels. It's the mirror, like, on the side of the wall that comes out. It's like the magnifying glass, you know what I'm talking about? And then you look and you're like, whoa, oh my gosh, like, that's not good. This is what God's word does, though, to us. It's like a magnifying glass, like a mirror, looking at our soul and it reminds us that we fall short, but it reminds us of a God who loves us. And David, in his response, as he looked up at the stars and looked up at the sun and looked up at the creation and marveled at the awesome, mighty power of God, and then he looked at his word and it spoke into his life and revealed truth and wisdom and joy and brought insight for living in his life, and he held up the mirror of God's word to his life, he's reminded of how far short he falls of this mighty, awesome God, yet this God who loves him. And so he responds like this in verse 12. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. David sees God, and then he seeks God, and then with the mirror up to his life, he surrenders to God, and as he does, he realizes, God, transform me. God, you are mighty and holy, and I am not, and half the time, I'm not even aware of the stuff where I screw it up, and God, I need you. From the sins that are lurking that I don't even always recognize, cleanse me. From the deliberate sins where I just decide that I'm going to do what I want to do, keep me from them. From the things that are like an albatross around my neck I can't seem to kick to the curb, free me. Don't let them control me. And then he closes the psalm after all of this, seeing God through the binoculars of life and kind of bringing that into focus. Using God's words and seeing it as this compass for life guiding him, holding up this mirror to his life and seeing his need for God. And he asks God to transform them, and he says these words, the very last verse in Psalm 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. God, may my life align with you. May my heart, may my mouth align with you. May I realize like who you are and who I am. And in all of it, God, may I be aligned with you. May I please you. You are my rock, my steadiness, my support, my unchanging, unwavering bedrock to my life, and my rescuer, my redeemer. And our response is to be like David's. God is our rock and our rescuer. So how do we respond? Our response to Revelation is simply this: confession. We see God and we confess, I fall short and I need him. Second, we align ourselves with him. We seek God through his word and his ways. God, I want to follow you in your ways. And then I surrender. God, I'm surrendering it to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. So when it comes to next steps, I just want to encourage you with three things this week. One, would you see God this week? What if every day this week you took a moment, every day this week, to see God in his creation? Look at a sunrise, catch a sunset, zoom in on your phone on a flower. Whatever you need to do to see God in his creation and to be reminded once again of the mighty, awesome power of this God. And then be reminded of his deep love for you. That we have this God who is powerful and mighty and yet is personal. And so would you also seek God this week? What if this week you just read one psalm every day? Just one psalm. Start in Psalm 1 and just look for one thing in that one psalm and let that kind of sit with you. Remind you of who God is and his love for you. And then would you surrender to God this week? And one way that you can do that is simply this week, the beginning of your day, would you pray Psalm 19, verse 14? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today, God, I want to be aligned to you. May the words of my mouth, may the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, God. Maybe you're not sure what you believe about God. You've been kind of coming and kicking the tires. Someone invited you and you're like, okay, Paul, but I don't know if I buy all this. Maybe your prayer, and maybe you've never prayed before, maybe you pray all the time. What if your prayer was simply this? God, if you're real, show me you're real. What if you just did that every day this week? God, if you're real, show me you're real. The Bible says that he's not far from any one of us, that when we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. So what if you just did that and see what God might do? Now, specifically to dads, to the men in the room. You know, when it comes to kids, you just want them to have it better than you did, to be happy, to succeed in life. But you know, we're always comparing and measuring up, and there's sports and there's teams and there's scholarships and there's grades, and we want them to have friends and find their soulmate and crush it in life and all the different things. And as hard as that might be to believe, sometimes God loves our kids even more than we do, and in many respects they're on loan to us. Being on this end of the parenting journey, and I want things to go well for my kids. I would love for them to be loaded and incredibly successful and all the things. But I've also watched hardship shape them in such good ways. I watched their pursuit of things that matter way more than climbing a corporate ladder to nowhere. I watched them have those moments where they had few friends, had those moments where they longed to find the person that they would spend the rest of their life with. And the only thing I really care about is that they would love Jesus and walk his ways and live surrendered to him, the one who brings wisdom and joy and insight for living and peace and refreshment. So dads, would you invest in your children in these ways? David said, listen, there's a lot of things that don't matter, but there's some things that do. Let's turn our focus to those most important things. In our kids ministry, we use an orange curriculum, and years ago, I don't even know if they still do this, they had and encouraged parents to get a jar and to put marbles or a ball in there for every week of their child's life up till 18. And every week, you were to kind of take the jar out and pull one of these out until they turned 18 years old. And then all the marbles would be gone. And We've watched all of our kids go out of the house at this point. And you may have a jar full. You may have a jar somewhere in between. You may have a jar that's empty. You may be a grandparent, wherever you're at. But if you've got kids at home, I'm telling you, there's going to come a day. There's only a few of those left. What do you want to last? What do you want to last? Let's focus on the most important stuff. And dads, we need to lead the way in that. You know, more is caught than taught. So would you, dads, would you see God? Would you seek God? Would you surrender to God? And in that way, would you lead your kids to the most important things? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your grace, for your goodness, for your awesome, mighty power and creative genius. God, may we never lose sight of seeing you in all of your glory. And then, God, we praise you that this mighty, awesome, powerful God that you are sees us. And you care and you love us and we can seek you and know you. So God, may you reveal yourself to us through your word. May we follow you. May we align our lives with you that we might be refreshed, that we might experience joy and insight for living and wisdom. God, we want to surrender to you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my hope for you this week as you go is that you will see God. And as you see God, that you'll seek him and surrender to him. Hey, thanks for being here today. Thanks so much for your faithful generosity here. Next week, week number 4 of Summer in the Psalms, why don't you stand with us as we close and head out for the day. Happy Father's Day. If you didn't use the QR code yet to sign up, dads, do that. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Heavier than it looks.